Welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is back in the office from Norway this week. Right, Colin, you got back from Oslo. How's everything going?
I am. It's going really well. Norway was a little chilly, but it's been nice to get back to the California sun. And I was welcomed back this week by some pretty spectacular results from our friends at Roku. You saw them as well, right?
Yeah, well, to quote a good friend of mine, indeed. It was quite a third quarter for Roku, and we are going to talk about those results here, get into them, and the implications. Unfortunately, Roku expectations were flying so high for them that the stock actually came down by about 22% today. We're recording on Thursday, but that should not take the shine off of the performance across the whole business line in Q3. So why don't you get us started and then we'll get into it.
You bet. So I'm going to I'll sort of break this out in two parts. One is the we'll just talk about the performance of the business from the point of view of consumers, and then we'll take a quick look at the revenue. And on both areas, they're just doing very, very well. Roku added 1.8 million active users in Q3 2018. They now have 23.8 million, which is a pretty impressive number. And to put that in perspective, that's a million more than Comcast has video subscribers. So just an interesting factoid there. And they've actually, this caps a pretty good year for them. They've added 7 million active users in the last four quarters, which is pretty impressive. And they've more than doubled the number in the last 2 years. So really doing very, very well. They're clearly resonating with consumers. And I think there's a lot of people who are thinking, when they think about getting online video on their television, it's to Roku that they're turning, clearly. And the interesting thing is that not only are more people coming to Roku, the people that have Rokus are watching for longer. So Roku give the gross number of hours that they deliver. And I sort of turn that into a per active user. And the average active user now, Will, is streaming 2 hours and 50 minutes a day, which I think is pretty amazing. And that's an increase of 14.5% over the same quarter last year. So very, very impressive there as well. They're definitely riding the wave, I think, of people transferring more of their viewing into the online sphere. So those are two, I think, very, very important facts that show that their business is doing really well. But if we look at the revenue shows us a little bit of a different picture. So revenue overall increased 40%, 39% over the same quarter last year. They earn $173 million this quarter past. And player revenue increased 9% year over year. And platform revenue increased 39%. And it's the platform revenue that's leading now, 100 million versus 73 million for the players, for the player sales. So what that's really telling you there is that Roku is executing a big switch in their business. They're moving from a CE vendor to becoming a platform provider, and more importantly, an advertising driven company. And that's where I think they continue to make just huge, huge strides. They provide a measure that they're calling ARPU, average revenue per unit, but this is actually average quarterly revenue per active user. And that is on a pretty steady increase, Will. It now sits at $17.34 a quarter. That's 37% up year over year. And almost double from 2 years ago. And most of that is on the back of advertising. And most of that advertising is being shown in the Roku channel. And the Roku channel, for those of you that don't have a Roku or a Samsung TV, which has the Roku channel, it's an advertising supported channel that Roku populates with a whole bunch of content, both stuff that it licenses and that it works with partners to deliver. And it's just hitting it out the park with this. Scott Rosenberg on the call, he's SVP and GM of Roku's platform business, where the Roku channel sits. He says that the Roku channel entered the top five channels faster than any other channel in the company's history. So really outstanding performance. And it's the engine that really appears to be driving the growth in revenue at the company, because boy, the profit margin on their platform business is pretty attractive. 70% versus the player, where they're only getting about 10%, 11%, I think it was in the last quarter. So, you know, these are some pretty strong numbers, aren't they, Will?
They sure are. The pivot that Roku, as you explained, the pivot that Roku has executed over the past year from being primarily a player business, low margin CE player business, to a high margin, high growth ad business is really phenomenal. It's just incredible to see what the company has pulled off in the past year. As you put it, Q3, $100 million on the platform business, 70% gross margin, clearly the leader in connected TV advertising. Clearly Roku Channel has been a huge breakthrough for them, clearly gives them a foundation for additional free ad-supported content to put in front of their 24 million user base. And the reality is that they needed to run hard to escape the long shadow, which still is cast over them, of the big players like Amazon and Google that have, of course, their own player businesses, because that was going to be a losing hand for them long term. And they've pivoted to the ad business, and it's been remarkable for them. Now, when we look ahead to Q4, if there's a little bit of kind of cloudiness in the silver lining, if you will, it's that, and they conceded this on the earnings call, that they're expecting those player gross margins to drop into the single digits. It's going to be a very competitive holiday season. You and I were talking before the call got started. We agree that on any given day, we could wake up to a holiday promotion from either Google or Amazon offering, as an example, a $15 stick, a $15 Chromecast, and they'll sell it for below cost and immediately shift holiday share away from Roku and into their products. And Roku would then be in a position of either having to match or see significant share erosion in the critical holiday season. That's the world we live in. These two companies, especially Amazon, are totally unpredictable. And we've gotten accustomed that any given day we can wake up to these incredible price breaks that they'll offer into the market. So that's a concern on the player side for Roku. The good news for them is, as you pointed out very well, they have now established this very robust and strongly growing platform business, which was up 74% year over year in Q3 and now accounts for 58% of total revenue.
Yeah, it's amazing performance. And you know, I think one of the interesting things I often think about Roku and its business, Will, is sort of the way pay television should be done online. In many respects, what they provide is very pay television like, right? You get a set top box and you get access to a whole bunch of content channels through that box. And the big difference is that it costs you only the price of entry is only the device that you purchase and a broadband connection. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it's providing you the content. It's providing a whole bunch of free content, which you really get for free. It's not like a pay television service where you have to at least subscribe to something to get something. You don't have to subscribe to anything to be able to watch the Roku channel and quite a few other advertising supported properties on that device. And the other thing is that the interesting thing here is that when you ask pay TV customers, what they really want. Three quarters of them say they want to pick the pay the channels in their pay television bundle, and they can do that with Roku. So in some respects, Roku is kind of the pay television service that people say they want. They want to be able to aggregate their own bundles and pay for only what they want. They get a whole bunch of free content, which they don't have to pay for at all, which they can, if they're willing to put up with the ads, they can put up with the ads. And I got to tell you that I think that dynamic is probably resonating with people right now. It's interesting. Scott Rosenberg gave out an interesting piece of data. He said that they did a survey of a group of new Roku users, and they found that 43% said the availability of free content was a big part of the reason they chose a Roku over competition. And, you know, this is something that is actually, I think it's present in the other platforms, but just not as prevalent here, with Roku because of the front and center position of the Roku channel in the experience. So, you know, I think they're picking up a lot of these people who are leaving pay television. They're running out and grabbing a Roku, and that's how they're getting their enjoyment on television. So interesting dynamic, I think.
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic, and a couple of tweaks, I think, to what you just said, Colin, when you say they're dropping pay TV and running out and getting a Roku. My guess is a more accurate depiction of the sequence is that they've had pay TV and then they put a Roku in a second, third room. They get a taste for what the Roku is like, which, as you just aptly described, is sort of like what you want pay TV to be, but you've never been able. They get that sort of a la carte-ish flavor. They start seeing that their viewership is shifting away from the expensive pay TV bundle and toward these services, whether it's Netflix, Amazon, the Roku channel, YouTube, etc. And then the light bulb starts to go off. Wait a second, what am I paying all this money for on my main TV to have pay TV? Why don't I just drop it and migrate fully to a Roku type of experience? So my guess is that it's that sequence that's playing out more typically in homes. And then one other thing I would add to it is that, you know, we always talk about Roku in the model of the box or the stick. But the reality is that I think they're quoting something like one out of four smart TVs sold now are Roku branded. And I can say I have a couple of those in my own house. And you want to talk about having the ultimate modern experience. One TV, no boxes at all, and one simple little Roku remote control opens up with the assistance of having a YouTube TV subscription and, of course, Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and everything else they have. One little remote control with no more than maybe 10 buttons on it opens up the entire world of TV, no extra boxes. And I think people are bringing these TVs home and realizing how simplified and streamlined their experience can be and are really loving it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, they said something else in the call, Will, that I thought was pretty interesting. They talked a lot about the ad revenue opportunity that's in front of them. And they're doing extremely well as it is with Roku Channel and with other advertising app opportunities on the platform. But they talked about the fact that the runway was still huge for them. Now, of course, we've heard Facebook and Google and others talking about getting a chunk of this $70 billion of television advertising that's out there. And they talked about some of the things that they've been doing with their ad technology and ad business, which gives them a better run at that. They introduced this thing called the Measurement Partners Program in Q2 of 2018. And this is basically working with folks like Nielsen, Comscore, and a bunch of other companies that is helping Roku really validate and quantify how well the video ads are performing on their platform. And it's allowing them to track things like attribution and intent and actually action, where people actually follow through and purchase or do something specific based on an advertisement. For example, they signed as an example a recent cruise line campaign where they say management partner program, these guys in the partner, I think it was Kantar Media, validated that there was a 46% increase in website visits in the 25 to 34 year olds, which was the key target of this demographic that they were going after. And you know, Anthony Wood, he came back to this and he talked about the opportunity for advertisers on the platform. Here's what he said, Will. He said 10% of 18 to 34 year olds watch their television on Roku. So if you're an advertiser and you want to target a video at them, Roku is the place to go to reach them. But 10% of the budget, the TV budget, has not moved over to Roku yet or to streaming. So, you know, he's sort of saying, look, we're putting the time in to create the data and the proof points to the advertising community that Roku really works. We think that there's a good shot at, you know, with the 18 to 34 year olds, there's a lot more budget there that could switch over to online and potentially to Roku. And we've got the data to convince people to bring it to us. And I think that's a pretty powerful message. Now, of course, they're somewhat limited. Whereas they do have, you know, nearly 22 million active users. That's still only 20% of the households, or a little bit less than 20% of the households in the US today. So they need, I think, a lot better reach before they can claim to be able to grab most of the TV revenue or a significantly larger portion, even for the 18 to 34 year olds. But it sure paints a great picture of what the opportunity is out there for them to continue to expand that side of their business. So it's a pretty exciting prospect, I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's a great illustration of the what's been talked about so often but executed on so little, the idea of blending the big screen TV branding experience, which of course TV advertisers love, with the digital capabilities, the targeting, the measurement, the attribution that has been so commonly experienced by advertisers on the internet for years now. And to be able to bring those two together is extremely valuable. And to your point, it's still very early days. They have limited coverage of US homes. There's no question about that. But they're the tip of the spear. And to the extent that advertisers really do want to have that blended experience, big screen with digital metrics, Roku has been an incredible innovator, and Scott and his team deserve huge credit for this. It's a very savvy group of people. They're very grounded, very real-world oriented, responsive to their marketplace. And as you point out, the proof is in the pudding. You got to look no further than the growth and the success in penetrating these big accounts. And I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but they talked at length about the number of Fortune 500, the number of auto, the number of financial, CPG, et cetera, companies that have now run campaigns with Roku. And it's impressive. They clearly have momentum.
So I think there's a couple of things that I think are a little, I think challenges for Roku still will. You know, one of the things I'm constantly pulled up by is I frequently am in Europe and Scandinavia, and when I'm there, I start talking about Roku and people just look at me like, who? And it just brings home to me how Roku is really only known here in the US. I think they're available in a couple of other countries, but they've really not got the international footprint of, say, Google with their Chromecast, or Apple actually, I've got to tell you, Apple and the ITV box are sort of king of the Scandinavian market. That's what everybody has. Everybody has one of those boxes, even more so than Amazon and the Fire TV. And so I think that's a real challenge for them, because, you know, Apple and Amazon and Google all have pretty developed marketing strategies for hardware in every country that they're sort of active. Many of it, of course, involves direct sales, the ability to direct sell, which Roku completely lacks. They don't have that ability. So that's a real challenge for them. They say they are going to be launching internationally, and they also say they're going to be taking the Roku channel international as well at some point in the future. But of course, without a large footprint of Roku devices and Roku users outside of the US, there's not a lot of incentive to take the Roku channel international, right? So I think that's one big weak area for the company. Another one is their support for multi-screen. I've wondered about this a lot with them. You know, they really don't have a big footprint. Well, they don't really deliver anything to mobile devices. They have a Roku app, but that's mainly for controlling the Roku box and the experience there. But, you know, the more I think about it, the less I think this is a problem for them, because it seems like consumers are pretty happy managing their apps, and what they want from Roku is easy access to the apps that they use. And for goodness sake, that's where they're watching the longest anyway. So maybe multi-screen is less of a problem, but I think I'd like to see a better strategy there for multi-screen. But that said, I mean, in the US market, it's really hard to ding them on anything, right?
Yeah, the multi-screen one is a little bit of a red herring, because, of course, Roku is known for CTV. That's their play.
Yeah.
So sure, multi-screen might be additive, but it's not core. The international point well taken. I guess you could spin it the opposite. Instead of saying it's a challenge, call it an opportunity. And it's not entirely clear to me why Roku doesn't have a bigger international footprint. I do think they operate in Canada, and there was a Mexico issue, but I think that's now resolved.
Right.
But certainly your anecdotal evidence about Scandinavia, and I'm sure elsewhere, and certainly as you get into Asia, they're probably those are bigger issues. But again, it just means more potential growth if they can pull that international expansion together. So lots of different ways to look at the Roku story, Colin. We're just about out of time here, but a lot to like there as well, for sure.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Be interesting to see what happens in Q4. I think, as you say, I think we'll see a big narrowing of margins on the player business. But boy, I think, you know, if people sit down over the holidays and watch a lot of Roku channel, we could see some big increases in their advertising revenue there, and the platform do even better. So anyway, we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
No question. A huge Q4 unfolding here for Roku. So more to be looked at and discussed as we go forward. For sure, Colin, great discussing Roku with you. And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.